It's a great pleasure for me this morning to welcome our speaker. Steve Clayton and I just get a sense that God's doing something with us. Last summer, when we began to think about moving here, I was thinking and praying about, well, we'll have an empty building on a Sunday morning. There are churches that are hiring schools at great cost. What church would I like to entrust our reputation to in the Maybridge community, and which church would be better than we are at reaching Maybridge people? And so I went to see Steve, because I think that what was happening at Northbrook Community Church was exactly those things. And we had a coffee booked up, and Steve said to me, before you say anything, will you take us over? Which I hadn't been expecting. And so Steve and Karen and the guys from formerly Northbrook, who I'm not allowed to use that name anymore, are part of this congregation. And we're just kind of wondering, what's God doing with us? And Steve and I would be very explicit that our hope is that one day we'll, and maybe not in the too distant future, we'll plant something together as Maybridge Community Church, doing something fresh and new so that other people will come to know this Jesus that we have the privilege of worshipping this morning. So I've asked Steve to come and speak this morning, not about that, but just to come and share with us from the Bible. So Steve, why don't you come? I'd love to pray with you before you speak. Is that all right? And I found out this morning from Karen that this man has broken his holiday to come and preach this morning. He's going back on holiday. Now that's serious commitment. And you're a naughty boy. Father, I thank you for my brother. And I bless you for the way you have enriched us as a church with all the guys who are part of Northbrook. Lord, we commit to you the future. We pray that you'd save us from good ideas and you'd get us to be obedient to what you want. And Lord, I pray for my brother this morning as he speaks. Lord, thank you for the Bible. Help us to learn from your word this morning. And I pray that he would feel liberty and freedom and love amongst us so that he can bring what's on his heart. Father, thank you for him and trust him to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be here with you. Don't feel too sorry for me. I'm a man who's been taking a lot of holidays lately, so it hasn't been any great sacrifice. One of my favourite speaker, teacher, author is a guy called John Ortberg. Many of you may have read his books, or you may have seen him on his DVD teaching series. He impresses me greatly. He is so calm and confident and poised, almost regal. And when I was reading up about him, it was a surprise to me, and more than a little of a relief to learn that when he first became involved as a leader of the church, he suffered terribly with his nerves. In fact, the first two times he went up to the front to talk, he fainted. This was not a great start for a new pastor, you get me? Anyway, he went home and he discussed it with his wife. He said, Nance, he said, I just don't know what to do. He said, whenever I go up the front, my palms, they start to sweat profusely. He said, and my throat, my mouth, they get so dry. I just don't know what to do. And his wife, Nancy, thought about it a bit and she said, John, why don't you lick your palms? If you see me licking my palms a bit this morning, I'm more than a little nervous. It's quite a while since I spoke to such a big gathering and on what I believe to be such an important topic. Anyway, let's get on with it. I was maybe a month back with three mates of mine. I knew them from my management consultancy days. These are the really sharp hombres and very techie, you know, they've got, blueberries and Wipax and blue teeth and all that sort of stuff. and they always kind of like taking the mick out of me. And they say, Steve, you're so far behind the times. You should get with it. He said, what sort of phone you got these days? I said, oh, it does me, it does. They said, no, come on. What sort of phone you got? Oh. So I went over to my briefcase. And I got out my phone. Anyone here old enough to remember these? Yeah, great stuff. This is on sale after the service. Bargain price. Anyway, they said, Steve, you can't get by with a thing like that. What you need are apps, applications, stuff designed to help you do life better, to make life easier for you. You just can't get by without it. And I said, well, I've heard about these things, but I've got my doubts. I said, Graham, I see you whenever there's, you know, a day or something, you key it into your calendar app or your diary app. He said, oh, yeah. I said, well, how come you're always 40 minutes late at our meetings? And how come last time you forgot the meeting completely? I talked to Dave. He's a bit like me. Peter Pan would like to be younger than he really is. And he runs a lot. And he said, this great app. He said, you key in the exercise, miles you've done, average speed. It's great. I said, how's that going, Dave? He said, I've got to be honest. I haven't been bothering to key the data in. And I turned to my third mate, Robin. He's a little older than us. He's retired now and struggling a bit financially. I said, how's it going with that budget app, Robin? You know, is that helping you? He said, I don't really use it. I said, well, listen, here's the thing with these applications. They're no good unless you apply them. Application is everything. Application is everything. I'll see if I can find some notes. I knew I was short of something in one hand. That is nerves. Okay, James, the brother of Jesus, came up with this immortal wisdom. Do not merely listen to the word, but do what it says. Yeah? In fact, the verse was a bit different to that. It said, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself, but do what it says. Deceive yourself. We all know, don't we, that you can't really deceive other people very easily. You can't really pull the wool over people's eyes. They see through you. It's not that easy to deceive other people and get away with it. And I think one of the things that turned me off church for most of my life was I got a whiff of hypocrisy about it. People saying they believed one thing, saying they followed this Jesus, but they kind of led a different life. They deceived themselves, yeah? But they didn't deceive others. But it is very, very easy to deceive yourself. So don't do that. And remember, application is everything. So let's get launched in now to a first of a series of apps we're doing. And I've called this, rather nattily, I think, the Map app. Yeah. The Map app, getting you where you want to go. Getting you where you want to go. Let's debunk a couple of myths first. First, good feelings. The motto of the 21st century, if it feels good, do it. You're awake. Bravo. If it feels good, do it. Any Beach Boy fans here? Oh, I'm looking in the wrong quarter here. Anyone heard of the Beach Boys? Ah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yeah, well, join me in this. Big Tony will join me in this. It's a Beach Boy favourite. Good vibrations. You ready, Tone? Here we go. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. Good, good. You like that, don't you? Terrible voice. Sorry about the voice. But anyway. Yeah. Good feelings. I'm not saying they're bad, but they can lead you astray. Yeah? I'm an alcoholic. I haven't drunk for many years now, but I used to love that first drink. But what I noticed about it was it led to another and another and another. And to be honest, I didn't always play straight and narrow in affairs of the heart. It felt good, so I did it anyway. And there was a lot of things in life I look back on. God's forgiven me for them. What a wonderful God we have. But do I regret some of them? Was there pain and hurt? Sure. Feelings can lead you astray. They won't necessarily get you where you want to go. How about good intentions? Here's another well-known group I know you all have heard of over here. Toad the Wet Sprocket. See me afterwards. People don't know Toad the Wet Sprocket. No, please. Yeah? Good man. World famous. Here's some lines from their song. It's hard to rely on my good intentions when my head's full of things that I can't even mention. Seems I usually get things right, but I can't understand what I did last night. Anyone here ever got into a situation where they think, I'm not going to fall for that again. I'm going to resist that temptation. I'm not going to make the same mistake over and over again. Why do I always date bad men? Ask my wife about that. She'll give you the lowdown. You know, we're at a season just coming to an end, maybe, of good intentions. They're called New Year's resolutions. And they don't usually last very long. We say and we mean that we're going to do something different, but we don't. Good intentions won't get you where you want to go. So, let's be positive about this. Getting where you want to go. The map app. What gets you where you want to go? Good directions. Following good directions. Use a good map and follow the route. Psalm 119 says, your word, the Bible, is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. A lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Instead of stumbling around in the dark, lost in the undergrowth, you can see where you're going. There is a good map available. I speak here as someone who came to faith really late in life. I mean, I'm cracking on now, but I was about 50 when I came to faith, and you know, I have been stumbling around in the dark a great deal, and I didn't have a good roadmap for life. I really didn't. So let me ask you this question. Are you on track? Believe me when I say this, we are all, every one of us, heading somewhere. The question is, are you heading somewhere on purpose? Or are you drifting or lost? Is where you're going where you want to go, where you're meant to go? Chance to show off my multilingual talents here on the screen. You see, danger de mort. You love the way they do that, the French, don't they? Roll that R, de mort. Danger of death. Not every decision in life is that serious. It's life or death, yeah? But I look back on mine, and I think of many bad decisions I've made that had those kind of repercussions. I saw relationships die. I saw reputations die. If I'd have died when I was 49, I'd have died forever. Thank God I found Christ then. But it's these decisions are so important, and we need a good map, and we need to follow the instructions. Are you off course? That's a tricky one, this. Deception. Anyone here know when they're being deceived? Put your hands up. Ah, clever, isn't it? Yet when you're deceived, you don't know it. So for most of my life, I thought, yeah, I get to the top of my career. Guess what I did? I make £1 million. Guess what I did? I'll impress a lot of people. Guess what I did? And guess what? Worthless. Paul uses a stronger word in the Bible for that. You can look it up. I won't use it here. Family service and all that. Yeah? I was deceiving myself that if I won the rat race, that would be it. But what I found out was, in the rat race, even the winners are rats. Are you off course? Do you, like me, for most of my life, not know Christ? Maybe you've just not been interested. Maybe you'll get around to it later in life when you've got more time, when you've finished uni, when you've had kids, got rid of kids, retired, whatever. You do it later. And you're not interested in Christianity. Or maybe like me, you sneered at it. But did you get the facts? Did you know anything about it? I urge you, don't be off course. Find out. Don't just follow the herd. That's easy. Find out the facts. You owe it to yourself. How about, you know, if you kind of, in your life, you've got a lot of stuff going on, and you kind of think, I know deep down inside I need to change. But, Steve, it's hard. It's hard. And I'm a little bit scared. Is that you? Maybe you feel you're getting nowhere. Whole series of, you know, dead ends, wrong turns. Where do you stand with Jesus? Do you know him? Do you experience him daily? One of the things that brought such joy to my heart was when I discovered that Christianity is not a religion, but a relationship with a living, loving God who loves me to bits and has got a great plan for me if I'm willing to cooperate with it. When I found out that Christianity is not just the right way to die, but the best way to live. Yeah? When I found out that what was on offer, Christ's agenda, was life and life to the full, life in abundance. You could be free and free indeed. That's amazing, isn't it? I was free to drink as much as I liked for most of my life, but it wasn't freedom, I'm telling you. Yeah? Where do you stand with Jesus? Do you want to walk close with him? Do you want to discover that kind of passion that you used to have when you first met for him? Do you want that beating in your heart? Well, let's get practical. Some people say to me, what would be neat, Steve? I can't arrange this, by the way. I want to be straight about this. What would be really neat would be if we could have life twice around. Once to make our mistakes, and the second time to learn from them. Anyone here got a favourite saying? I love to learn from my mistakes. I got a word for you, dim. Yeah, sure you will learn from your mistakes, but it's painful and things get messed up. What would you rather do? You would rather avoid them, wouldn't you? And in fact, don't we all say, I want to avoid mistakes? I'm tired of making the same mistakes. I want to avoid. Do you say that? Give me some encouragement here. Would you like to avoid mistakes? Yeah. See, loads of people say that to me. And then I watch them, and you would think when they came to big decisions, they would sort of agonize over it. Ooh, what shall I do? What's the right? But I've noticed people don't. They rush headlong, often down the path of least resistance. Often down the path of least resistance. And that expression on the screen, does that look like someone who really enjoys making mistakes? I don't think so. What I have learned is that a lot of the complications in my life can be avoided if I follow a good map. Okay, right to the heart of the matter. This is going to test you to the core. You don't even look worried. It's amazing. We have a verse, a key map app verse. I'm going to say it, and then we'll say it out loud together, yeah? The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Shall we say it together? The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Time out. You know, age 50 when I first came to faith, it was such an amazing thing for me. Because this thing called grace, a bloke like me with a very checkered past, loved by God, forgiven by God, welcomed into his family, given a fresh start. I was red hot for Jesus, red hot for Jesus. That was 10 years ago. I'll be honest with you. Today, I'm red hot for Jesus. I'm red hot for Jesus. Nothing I wouldn't do for Jesus. But kind of like when I came to faith, I thought, there's a few other things in my life I've been red hot about. used to be red hot about golf, not very good at it, but red hot about it, and making money and all this kind of stuff and speaking foreign languages. Yeah. And when I thought to myself, all those things I was really keen about, I used to work at. And I thought, I'm going to love this Jesus more than he's ever been loved. But I recognised he was going to need some work. Yeah. So I had this plan. I thought, I know what, I'm going to read the Bible. I love it. One of my greatest disappointments in being involved in church leadership is urging people to read the Bible. And they think, I wish you'd stop nagging me. Nagging you? The Bible, great book, full of wisdom and encouragement and love and promises about, you know, about how I've read the Bible. And I was sort of taught really how to pray. I'm not a great, very prayerful guy. I'm a kind of active sort of fellow. You know, moving about, ducking and weaving, that sort of stuff. But, you know, I prayed a lot. And I learned the value of having a quiet time with God every day. Jesus was really that important to me. Surely I could spend 15 minutes with him alone. Yeah? I recommend these practices. But there was one practice that scared me. And it was called memorizing verses. Scripture memorization. I thought, oh, I'll never do it. And then I got to thinking, I thought, I don't know. I've memorized a lot of phone numbers and a lot of directions. And actually, I know quite a few jokes. You might care to see me afterwards if you're interested in that. Yeah, I thought I can remember. I've got to be able to remember a few verses. So I launched myself into it. And you know, it's the most marvelous blessing. The strength and peace it's given me when I'm at the sharp end and I can remember a verse. I don't go and find a Bible. I think, oh, what did Paul say in Romans 8:28? I know. Yes, somehow, I don't understand how or why God is doing something good at this moment, even though I'm hurting. Yeah? I memorize loads of verses. And it's been great for me at times of temptation, at times of trial, at times of fear. Times of excitement. I'm apt to get a bit overexcited sometimes. I have to rein it in, yeah? These verses have been great. And I'm telling you, you can do it. What's more, you have done it. And we're going to do it now. So I'm going to start us off, and we're going to say it together, because you've memorized it, haven't you? Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. The prudent see danger and the simple... The prudent keep going and suffer for it. Give yourself a round of applause. Give yourself a round of applause. Well, this verse, very straightforward, simple verse, packed with life-giving wisdom for you. Yeah, it introduces us to two kinds of people. They have the same kind of life, complications, temptations, disappointments, triumphs, but the way they react to what they meet is completely different. Let's start with the first half. The prudent. The prudent see danger and take refuge. Now let's be clear about this. The prudent in the Bible is used kind of like interchangeably with wise. It doesn't mean super clever, Mensa IQ, tremendously knowledgeable. Let me give you for instance. Knowledgeable people, really knowledgeable people, know the tomato is a fruit. Wise people do not serve it in fruit salad. Big difference. Big difference. The prudent, the wise, see danger and take refuge. They act on the fact that today's choices lead to tomorrow's consequences. That all life is connected. Yeah? You with me so far? Let's go to the other half. The simple. This is not derogatory. This doesn't mean stupid, slow on the uptake. It means kind of like naive or careless. The simple keep going and suffer for it. I had a little ad lib rehearsed for this because I'm sure the last time I was here, someone was on a stage. Am I right? I was going to tiptoe to the edge of the stage and I was going to keep going. And I was going to fall off it. Can you just imagine that? Laugh. Great. That's good. Thin ice. Danger. Thin ice. Wonder how far you can get. This is the simple at work. Yeah? The prudent are back here. Who would be so simple, you're thinking? Yeah? Who? Well, I'm telling you, pretty much everybody. Every time you light up that next fag, every time, in my case, I quaff that extra donut, every time you fail to work at key relationships with your kids, with your marriage, every time you spend more money than you've got and use a credit card, yeah? Every time of an evening you rush in, I've had a lousy day at work, and one gin becomes two. Who would be so simple? Pretty much everyone. But let me tell you this. The simple do know that what they do today will affect what happens to them down the road. They do know that. You know, if you go up to people who've done the most silly things and you say, didn't you see that coming? Didn't you see the dangers? What on earth were you thinking? They'll admit they saw it. They act. They know that life's decisions are connected to what happens in the future, but they just act as though they don't. They got their head in the sand. And when you've got your head in the sand, where's the target? I leave you to think about it. I'm speaking as a man with a much bruised butt, because too often I've had my head in the sand and someone's need to give me a wake-up call. Okay, the prudent, the simple. See the same things, react differently. What is called for here? Well, this is what's called for. Course corrections. You want to get where you want to go? Well, you'll find yourself off course sometimes. Maybe you've pinned your hopes on happiness in a career or in making money or getting a bigger house or a flashier car, and you'll get there and you will find it doesn't satisfy. And you'll need to change course. The prudent see danger and change course. The simple simply do not. They do nothing. And they end up where they don't want to go. Simple, suffer for it. The final analysis, the bottom line. The simple keep going and suffer for it. Suffer for what? Well, for being oblivious to the obvious. For refusing to act on what they see. Pause there. I know a lot of us here today are followers of Jesus Christ, and we believe in the depth of God's grace, his forgiveness. And we've experienced that, and it's wonderful, isn't it? It's wonderful. And that will always be there. If you make bad choices, you can always go to God and say, done it again. Help me. But, and this is an important but, the consequences will remain. I heard of a story the other week, really generous couple of parents, not got a lot of money, but they'd saved what little money they had to put their son through driving lessons. He'd had a bundle of driving lessons. He's really good at it, quite cocky with it actually. But he hadn't done the theory bit, hadn't revised up on that, and got to the test. He drove like Nigel Mansell. Must be somebody more. Hamilton. I show my age sometimes. He drove really well, but he failed one of the questions on the highway code. And he went to his mum and dad and he said, I failed. They said, what? Yeah, I was a dummy. I didn't revise those theory questions, and I failed one of the questions on the test. I'm so sorry I've wasted all that money. Will you forgive me? And his parents, lovely couple, said, yeah, of course we forgive you, son. In fact, we'll go further. Grace will buy you a few more lessons. Yeah. But the consequences remained. He had failed his driving test. Do you get me? And some of us, you know, when the inevitable consequences of bad decisions we make catch up with us, we go into a kind of victim mode. Have you ever done that? Poor me. And dare I say it, sometimes we might shake our fist at God. But God, I'm a good bloke. God, I go to church every Sunday. Why is this happening to me? Where's the love in this? Well, God says, here's where the love is. The love is in the warning. I mean, absolutely clear to you. There are warnings all over the place. Not thou shalt not plaques to ruin your life, but they, I'd steer clear of this. Danger, thin ice. Danger, take refuge. The love is in the warning. Many of you here will have got kids, and you're forever perhaps warning them, don't play with sharp knives. That's your love for them, not your desire to spoil their fun games, yeah? The love is in the warning. True story, sad story, this. About, I don't know when it was now, maybe 5 or so years ago, we started a small little church up at Northbrook, and the guy who was with us then, only like half a dozen of us, he had done some building work at my house. In fact, there were so many builders there for so long that I ran an alpha course for them. And a couple of them came to faith, and this guy was one of them. He was a smashing guy, Rob, and he developed this sort of hacking cough, and then blood started coming up, and he had this appointment at the hospital. And he said, would I go with him? He said, I'm a bit worried, Steve. He said, because I smoke 40 a day since I was 15, 50 odd now. We went to the hospital, and as sure as eggs is eggs, they said, it's lung cancer, Mr. Davey, and to be honest, it's too late for surgery, and there's not a lot of point in chemo. You're going to die soon. And Rob and I came out, and we were a bit shattered, and we went and had a drink. He had a strong drink, I had a Coke. But we talked about that. He says, Steve, he said, you know, when I came to faith, he said, I know deep in my heart God loves me. He still loves me, doesn't he? I said, of course he loves you, Rob. Nothing's changed. He said, is he angry with me about this smoking thing? Is he punishing me? I said, I don't believe so, Rob. He said, can we pray about it, Steve? I said, of course, Rob, we'll pray non-stop. Yeah? But the plain facts are, Rob inherited the consequences of following dodgy directions. Yeah? I know what you're going to say. I'm reading your mind. It's one of my gifts. You're going to say, ah, yeah, but my great aunt Aggie smoked 100 a day and lived to be 100. I'm telling you, she's the exception. A mate of mine I used to play rugby with when I was at school, he was a really heavy drinker. He drank a bottle and a half of whiskey a day, at a minimum. That wasn't weekends, that was when he was working. Yeah, and he lived to his 85. I'm telling you, at the cremation, they had a job to get the fire out. No! But 85, not a bad age for such a heavy drinker, you're saying, well. But I'm telling you, that's the exception. Don't be simple. Don't be daft. Don't build your life around the exception. I'm spending loads more money than I've got because I reckon I'm going to win the lottery soon. Yeah? Little bit of weed on the side won't lead to anything, won't harm me. Yeah? Taking the secretary out after work, only for a drink, the wife needn't know, there's nothing in it. Yeah? If you get away with those kind of things, you are the exception. But prudent people don't plan their lives around the exception. And some of the opportunities, you know, you get to a terrible place in life and the exception didn't materialize and you're in deep trouble. And all these opportunities, stuff you could have changed, it's in the rear view mirror. I'm so excited I came to faith at 50. To my dying breath, I will try and save one more for Jesus. But I do regret 50 years without him. I do. I can't change that. That's in the rear view mirror. So, let's close. What to do? Here's a revolutionary idea. Apply the app. Application is everything. Good feelings aren't reliable. Good intentions so often don't work. Instead, follow good directions. Apply the app. It's not what you see, but what you do about what you see that makes the difference in your life. Apply the app. And here's a little health check. You could all do it now. Check your path. Where are you? Where are you going? Have you found the real meaning of life? Or are you looking in the wrong places? How's it going for you? Maybe you're a Christ follower. Are you getting to know him more day by day? Are you getting to serve him better day by day? Is he able to use you effectively to reach the lost day by day? Or are you falling into some blind alleys? So check your path, assess the dangers, change direction. Do whatever it takes. I'm going to go to extremes here now, and you might laugh at me. But say you're a man here, maybe a woman too, struggling with stuff on the net you shouldn't be watching. Cancel your internet subscription. Do it now. Maybe you're taking a drop too much. Empty the liquor cabinet. Maybe you're having a job making finances balance. Cut up your credit cards. Do all of these if necessary. Am I over the top? No, I'm not. I know loads of people have gotten a real fix who would go back and do that now if they could, but it's too late. Do not merely listen to the word, but do what it says. I've been talking for 20 minutes now. Do you know, it sounds much like common sense, doesn't it? You notice common sense is seldom common practice, by the way. But, and you're thinking, it's common sense, Steve. But I'm telling you, I'm a little bit of experience out the front here. I've looked around. It was a much smaller, more open plan church we used to be. And I looked around, and you had to be a strong man because a number of people were doing crosswords. It was apt to dent the confidence of a speaker. But there were some, you know, they were nodding enthusiastically. Or they'd come up to me and they'd say, "Oh, you nailed that one. That you really spoke to me, man." You know? And I'd be thinking, "Oh, God." And? Or they'd say, "I felt God speak to me during that talk." And I'd be thinking, "And?" Or they said, "The Holy Spirit moved in me. Boy, I felt the heat." And I'm thinking, "And?" I'm thinking, and what are you going to do? You see, this sounds like common sense, but it won't do you any good unless you do something with it. Apply this app. Remember, good directions trump good intentions every time. I'll close with a phrase I'm going to nick from Andy from a few weeks back. Hit home to me. Is this easy? Making changes. Is it easy? Let's take a straw poll. Those who think it's easy. Those who think it's hard. Those who nodded off. Okay. It's hard. But it's not difficult. It's simple. A lot of these changes, dead simple. You just don't want to do it or you're scared of doing it. So, I want to close on a real upbeat note. Pray this prayer with me. Pray this over your spirituality. If you don't know Jesus, I pray that you may think again. That you may think, this guy had a good career, made lots of money, good reputation, all that, but it wasn't enough for him. He's either a madman or there's something in it. Get the facts. Pray this prayer over your walk with Jesus if you're a Jesus follower. Over your marriage, your children, your health, your finances. But pray it over your whole life. I'm going to read it out loud and we're going to close with you praying it with me. Yeah? Here we go. Lord, help us to see trouble coming long before it gets here. And give us the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to do it. Shall we close by saying that together? Lord, help us to see trouble coming long before it gets here. Give us the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to do it. Amen. I've so enjoyed talking to you. A little plug, if I may. This is a kind of launch vehicle for a series we're doing starting Tuesday week in the evenings. They're called Life Applications. So over 8 weeks, we'll be doing four lots of two sessions, 2 weeks per application. And we will be looking at the Search and Rescue app. God is passionate about reaching lost people. Are you? And are you equipped to help him? Yeah? We're going to give you practical application tools to do that. We're going to look at the Trust app. Are you at perfect peace at the moment, or do you occasionally worry? Well, believers are called not to worry. Guess what? They're called to believe. And the Trust app will help you with that. We're going to look at the Invest app. We're going to look at how you can use your wealth. You are wealthy. How you can use your wealth wisely. And last of all, we're going to close with looking at the Freedom app. How you can be free indeed. How you can become free of past guilt and grief and grudges. I'm really hoping that a lot of you will decide to come to those Tuesday slots. In fact, my prayer is that you'll do whatever it takes to get there. Thank you.